guys get to hear from me even more. Hi again. Oh, you didn't have to woo, but that's very nice. My name is Becca Eastvold. Again, I am the lead pastor here at the Duluth Vineyard, and it is my honor and privilege to welcome you on this holiday weekend. And so as Andrea was sharing too about kind of some of the fun things she got to do, there are really fun things about holiday weekends. We grill out, we head up to the cabin, we get together with friends and families, we watch fireworks, we laugh, we rest. The normal rhythms kind of melt away for a few days and we spend a little bit more time simply being together and hopefully moving away from the pressures of constantly doing. And this summer, we're trying on kind of that same traveling posture as a church by spending these weeks over the summer looking at what's called the Psalms of Ascent. So the Psalms of Ascent are Psalms 20 through 35. There's 15 short psalms. And three times a year, God's people traveled to Jerusalem for the great feasts, which were known as Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. And these were the songs that pilgrims sang along the way. Some traditions say the Levites sang them on the 15 steps leading up to the temple itself, kind of one psalm per step. They were road songs, courage songs, sung by ordinary families climbing upward towards the city, often through territory that wasn't exactly the safest. They were songs, though, for people that were still on a journey, I imagine, like many of us. And that's something that I really love about these psalms. They weren't written in a quiet office by someone who finally had life figured out and wanted to pass along their wisdom to others. These songs were written on the move. While life was happening, while uncertainty was real, while people were still carrying honest, vulnerable questions. So today, we're going to be taking a look at kind of our next psalm in the series, which is Psalm 125. And we're trying to approach this kind of a little bit differently this summer, maybe a little bit more contemplative. And so before we kind of think too much about it, I want us to just receive this psalm. It's just five short verses, but I just, like, don't think too much about it. If you're comfortable, maybe closing your eyes, just, like, allow, maybe like the waves of Superior when they kind of, like, wash over your feet. Let's just, like, have this psalm wash over us for a minute. And then I'm just going to leave a few seconds at the end just to kind of take some deep breaths and just kind of be present before God. That sound okay? All right, let's do it. Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be on Israel. All right, so as we take a little bit more of a look into Psalm 125, here's a question I think this psalm asks us, and maybe it's a question some of us find ourselves asking this summer. When so much around us is shifting, relationships, the political climate, the actual climate, finances, work, health, leadership, relationships, when we look around us and see a bunch of instability, where do we find a foundation that's solid? And yes, on the surface, we all know on a Sunday morning in church how we're supposed to answer this question. But that foundation often gets challenged. This week, safety felt challenged for me. We have a car that's been in the shop for like way too long, if I'm honest with you. It just has like a really silly thing going on. I'm not going to go into detail of it. But anyway, it has been in the shop for like a month now, awaiting a certain part to come in. And so we have been kindly loaned a car. And so this week we were getting ready to go camping for the 4th of July weekend. So we're excited. We get on the road. We're driving the car down 35. And all of a sudden, like, the air conditioning starts to go out. And we're like, like, well, that's kind of weird, right? But then, you know, you just like shrug it off. You're like, I don't know, the air conditioning's going out. Maybe it needs to be charged. Maybe it needs some Freon. I don't know car things. So those are things that I just made up. But as we're driving, we're thinking, okay, kind of move on from it. Then all of a sudden, Freon everywhere, just spurting and spewing all over the front of the car. And then immediately it starts smoking. And we're like, oh, so we pull over to the side of the road, and there we were, stranded in the midst of a holiday weekend, just watching kind of traffic zoom by. I don't know if you've ever been in that position where you're on the highway where the traffic is zooming by, and we were just hoping like that the car wouldn't catch fire and we'd be safe. So this psalm reminds us, because I imagine all of us have been in maybe not that specific space, but a place where we felt like our safety, our security was being challenged. But this psalm reminds us that in those kinds of moments, when we feel exposed, we can look at what surrounds us. Not what we can fix or control or even predict, but we can look for what surrounds us. So this morning, we're going to take a look at what it means to trust something we can't always see, because the mountains are there whether we notice them or not. And then we're going to take an honest look at the question about what we actually mean when it feels secure and how that's different from being safe. And then we'll end by looking at the boundary this psalm puts on hardship and a promise that it doesn't get the last word. So before we jump into this psalm a little bit more, I'd love to pray for us. Come, Holy Spirit, once again. God, we know even as we pray those words, it's not about you like coming like you were absent or something. It's just about kind of our hearts and our minds being attentive, paying attention, being aware to where you are and to what you might be up to. So God, this morning we trust that you have something for each of us, that there's something you want to do, there's something you want to say. And so God, we just want to open our hearts and our minds to invite you to come to have your way. To meet us maybe in surprising, unexpected, beautiful ways. Ways that make a difference. Ways that actually transform who we are from the inside out. Not because we're trying to do that, God, but just because we're in a posture where our hands and hearts are open to receive from you. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Amen. All right, so we're going to start with trusting what we can't see. So we're going to look again at this psalm and kind of go through it a little bit verse by verse, and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. And they say this: those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. So a quick geography lesson. Jerusalem sits in a bowl surrounded by hills. The Mount of Olives are to the east. Other ridges are wrapping around the city on the other sides. And as pilgrims made their way toward Jerusalem, there were stretches of the journey where they couldn't always see those mountains clearly. Maybe there was haze. Maybe the road curved. Maybe the terrain blocked their room or their view. Or maybe they were just so tired from all this walking that they were too exhausted to notice. And no matter their perception, the mountains were always there. Jerusalem's security didn't depend on whether the pilgrim could see the hills. It depended on the hills actually surrounding the city, a natural physical barrier that stood between the city and whatever approached it. And as we see in this psalm here, these all-encompassing mountains represent God's presence. These mountains won't remove everything that makes us anxious or is difficult or is a prompt. But what it is a promise that God is there even when we don't feel at peace. We're not necessarily always promised that. But we're promised that God's presence will just surround us. So as I've prayed and thought about this psalm this week, I've realized for me how easily I measure security by things I can count. Money in the bank. A stable church, knowing my family will be okay, having a detailed step-by-step plan for whatever comes next. I catch myself thinking, if I could just get these things settled, then I can finally relax. Maybe you've thought something similar about things going on in your life. I imagine we all have something where we whisper to ourselves, once I finally have this figured out, then I'll be secure. The problem is, if you notice, that finish line keeps moving. Psalm 125 has had me wrestling this week because it isn't giving me what I, left to my own devices, naturally go looking for. It isn't promising that all the things I worry about will disappear. It's asking me, it's asking us a different question instead. Where are we looking for security in the first place? Because if my security depends on everything around me finally settling down, I'll spend my whole life holding my breath, waiting to exhale. There's also a difference between feeling secure and being secure. Some mornings I wake up hopeful. Others I wake up carrying like a heaviness I can't explain, or I wake up with my mind spinning about the concerns of my heart. The circumstances haven't changed overnight, but my heart sure has. If my security depends on how I feel when I wake up, then my security changes every single day. Psalm 125 doesn't ask us if we feel surrounded. It tells us that we are. The mountains don't disappear when the clouds cover them. They don't move because we're anxious. They don't become less real because we can't see them from our vantage point. God's presence isn't dependent on our awareness of it. The invitation of this psalm isn't to create or build our own feelings of security. It's to slowly learn to trust in a reality that's already true. This psalm doesn't say, have more faith, and then you'll finally feel secure. It doesn't say that the mountains surround us once we've trusted enough. It simply says the mountains are there. It doesn't promise that we won't feel shaky or that doubt won't creep in when we're tired. Even while we shake or doubt, the mountains are still standing. Even while we wonder if any of this is actually true, our humanness doesn't change what surrounds us. The pilgrims singing these songs were tired travelers walking dangerous roads. But the unshakable thing was never them. It was the God that surrounded them. For some of us, maybe our emotions feel numb right now, or maybe anxiety has been steering way more than we'd like it to this week, or maybe we've found ourselves lying awake wondering what tomorrow will bring. But this psalm isn't asking us to just emotionally be stronger, get it together. The unshakableness of the mountain was never ours to build, because the mountains were standing long before the pilgrims ever set out, and they'll be standing forevermore, long after. We're not being asked to muster up more faith before we feel secure. We're being invited to rest inside a security that was never dependent on us in the first place. And now, sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes like my words have to lead the way. And so I actually want to invite us to take a moment and we're going to read this psalm together. Because sometimes we need to hear in our own voices before our hearts can begin to believe it. So if you're up for it, we're going to read Psalm 125 out loud together. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be on Israel. All right, so next we're going to talk about security being different than safety. We just said out loud that we're surrounded. But so let's ask an honest question. Surrounded by what exactly, and what were we actually hoping security means? We tend to use the word security like it means nothing bad's going to happen to me. We're surrounded by so many messages built on that assumption. Buy this, save this much, protect yourself this way, get enough insurance, build enough wealth, plan carefully enough, then you'll finally be secure. But security becomes a finish line. Just enough. Saving, certainty, control. And then we'll finally stop bracing ourselves. But the problem is, left to our own devices, we'll never actually get there. There's a famous kind of quote that's often said to have been from John D. Rockefeller, who was a very rich man about 100 years ago, about a reporter asking him, how much money is enough? Do you know what he said? You guys have heard this before, just a little bit more. We don't know if he actually said this, but this story is stuck around for 100 years because it names something true about us, about the human condition. We think we'll feel secure with just a little bit more because somehow enough seems to keep moving farther and farther away. Have you noticed that fear has terrible eyesight? Fear closes in and it refuses to zoom out. It takes 10 different worries and piles them into one impossible weight, like a conversation you're dreading, a diagnosis, our kids, our future, something unresolved from the past. And suddenly we're not carrying one stressor anymore. We're carrying everything all at once, and our gaze is so narrowly focused on what we're carrying. But the pilgrims weren't asked to pretend that the road wasn't dangerous. But they were invited to look up and remember that danger wasn't the only thing that was true. Fear has this way of narrowing our vision until all we can see is what's threatening us. Faith widens our view enough to remember that God is also here. The psalm doesn't say the wicked disappear, that there are no enemies, or that the journey will suddenly become safe. The danger is still outside the city. Which means security in this psalm isn't the absence of threat. Security is the presence of someone stronger than the threat. And guys, I know that doesn't make the road easy, but it does remind us that we were never walking it alone. And then we're gonna get to see that the storm does have a limit. So let's take a look at verse 3. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous. So scholars debate what exactly this scepter refers to. It was some kind of oppressive rule sitting over the land God had given his people. It may have been like a foreign power occupying their territory or corrupt leadership internally. It could have been both. But whatever the scepter, the fear underneath it is the same. What happens when wickedness holds power long enough that it starts to feel permanent? Or long enough that good people start wondering if playing by the rules of the wicked is the only way to survive? The mountains surrounding Jerusalem don't remove every danger, but they do limit it. An enemy can't approach from every direction. The city wasn't left exposed on every side. The mountains created a boundary. And the writer of this psalm doesn't paint a beautiful picture of mountains surrounding Jerusalem and then pretend that life is easy. He says that there is wickedness. There are circumstances that hurt people. There are seasons that don't make sense. There are leaders who fail, relationships that break, tough situations that linger so much longer than we'd ever choose. And after naming the reality of hardship, verse 3 tells us the scepter will not remain. It has a boundary, an expiration date. We're not promised that the hardship won't happen, but it is promising that it will not have the final word. The pressure we're carrying, the grief we're living with, the uncertainty we're navigating, none of it is the whole story. And we may not be able to see where it ends, particularly those of us that might find ourselves in the thick of it. And I know it sounds trite, friends, sometimes, but we know the one who can see the end of it. A boundary means something very different than a quick resolution, and I think we confuse those two all the time. I want the hard season to be over. We want the answer. We want to know exactly how everything is going to work out. But we're not promised a quick resolution. The psalm promises us that evil doesn't get to write the ending. Because again, we live in an instant society where we expect immediate answers and healing and clarity. And when those things don't come on our short timeline, we sometimes assume that God must not be at work, or maybe doesn't care, or isn't there, or isn't paying attention. Pilgrims knew better. Pilgrims expected the journey. They expected days because they'd experienced them before when the road would feel long. They expected hills, tired legs, uncertainty. And they still kept walking a long obedience in the same direction. Maybe faith looks a little different than we imagined. That can happen as we grow up. We think it's a certain thing. It can be something else. Maybe faith isn't waking up every single morning just overflowing with confidence. Maybe it isn't the absence of questions. Maybe faith is simply taking that next faithful step while the uncertainties, doubts, and questions are very present. And friends, I want to suggest that that's actually incredibly courageous faith. These pilgrims reciting these psalms didn't wait until they felt brave enough to keep walking. They walked while they were still becoming brave. And I don't know about you, but I find that so stinking comforting because it means this psalm is for us ordinary humans who are still learning, who don't know what tomorrow holds. Humans who have to sometimes choose faith before we feel it. The obedience this psalm asks for isn't a one-time dramatic giant decision that carries us for the rest of our lives. It's much smaller than that. It's showing up again tomorrow. It's praying when our prayers feel ordinary. It's staying in relationship while the healing is still happening. It's continuing to trust God before we know how the story ends. Because God isn't waiting for us off in the distance at some finish line. He's there beside us, walking the road with us and surrounding us. So if you're carrying something painful today, something that hasn't healed, something unresolved, I don't want this verse or this psalm to become some like cheesy Christian cliche that's like, don't worry, it'll all work out. Jesus just makes it all better. I would suggest that that is incredibly unhealthy, and I would also suggest that that is spiritual bypass, friends, because we don't want to sit in the tension. We just want to be like, but God is good. We can make it all go away. That's not helpful. That's a different sermon for another time. But notice the order in this psalm. It names the fact that we're surrounded, then it names the hardship, then hope. The pain is real, the waiting is real, and then that doesn't get the final word. Because in the last couple of verses, the psalm ends like this: Lord, do good to those who are good. Peace be on Israel. After everything we've just walked through, the mountains, the boundaries on the wickedness, the psalm doesn't end with a victory cry of celebration. I was at a Duluth FC game this week where they won in the last few minutes of the game. And I don't know if you guys have been to that type of like soccer game, but that is when people like lose their minds. People just freak out at those last minute wins. Or I'm sure if anyone's been watching the World Cup, you guys have seen that as well, right? Like we just freak out. We're so stinking excited when the victory comes. And those kind of celebrations, those victories, those are so fun to get to be a part of and get to watch. And not all victories look like that. I want to suggest that that's not the victory celebration here in this psalm. I imagine it kind of ending with this quiet prayer, maybe a whisper. Do good, Lord. Peace be on Israel. Because sometimes faith isn't a victory chant. Sometimes it's simply quietly praying, bring peace. Meet me here. Help me take the next step. Centuries later, on a night when his own friends were exhausted, scared, and unsure about what tomorrow would bring, Jesus said this to them, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Jesus' peace is different than the world's peace. We think peace means everything has finally settled down. But the peace Jesus offers surrounds us before the circumstances change. Jesus walked up that same road into Jerusalem, into the very city these pilgrims were singing their way toward. And when he got there, he let the wickedness this psalm names do its very worst to him. He took on the scepter of the wicked so that it would never get to be the last word over us. The boundary the psalmist trusted in without fully seeing, we get to look back to that. Because in Jesus, it is finished. It is a person, not just a promise. So when this psalm says, "Peace be on Israel," we get to hear that prayer already answered in Jesus. Our mountain surrounding us, our peace that doesn't depend on how steady the ground might feel or not today. God doesn't demand or ask for some type of perfect put-together faith. Not now, honestly, not ever. And he specifically doesn't demand or expect it from weary travelers. He doesn't ask exhausted people to pretend they're overflowing with joy. He meets us where we are. That joy, that peace, it's not about us, you guys. It's about God showing up and doing that work. And sometimes that's as tired travelers on tired roads. Maybe some of us came in here this morning running on fumes, carrying more than we know how to carry. If you find yourself low on hope, low on energy or certainty, I hope this psalm can be a gift to you. Because this psalm ends with peace we can't make on our own, peace we just get to receive. So that story I told you about the car on the side of the road. Guys, it was really weird. Because like if I were to think about it and look at it logically, there's all the reasons that we should have panicked, freaked out, whatever. And I don't know how to describe it other than there was a peace that fell. As we waited, as we sat in the uncertainty, not knowing how long it would be till the tow truck would be there, not knowing, like hopefully a tow truck will even show up. It is a holiday weekend. And I don't know how to describe it other than to say it's something that we received. My family got to receive peace in the middle of the uncertainty. In the middle of wondering, when is enough enough? Seriously, just one more thing. And yet, there it was. All I know is that for whatever reason, in that moment for my family, we felt, we knew, we were surrounded. So the next time anxiety starts to rise, the next time we catch ourselves spiraling into the what ifs, I'm hopeful that we can take a gift from this psalm, that we can pause, that we can kind of make this into a bit of a breath prayer, where we take a breath and simply remind ourselves, I am surrounded. Not, I feel surrounded. Not, everything's gonna be okay. Just, I'm surrounded. Because that's what the psalm says is true, whether I feel it or not. We can maybe pair it with verse 2. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. This could be something we read in the morning this week as we're starting our day, before bed. We could read it with someone else, maybe with our kids, our spouse, our roommates. We could say it over and over again when we're alone in the car. It can become part of our inner conversation when we just need some words, when we just need to be reminded, when fear is narrowing our vision. And the Psalms of Ascent weren't sung by individuals walking alone. They were sung by communities, pilgrims reminding one another about what's true. So I want to encourage you, don't do this alone. Ask someone to pray this verse with you or over you. Pray it over someone else. Sometimes when we can't see the mountains ourselves, we need another pilgrim to remind us that they're there. I've spent a lot of my life believing security meant arriving at a place where I no longer had to worry. Just enough, X, Y, Z. And then I'll finally be okay. Maybe you believe that too. Psalm 125 is inviting us into something better. Maybe security isn't arriving at a future where nothing can hurt us. Maybe security is discovering that nothing can separate us from the God who's already got us. The people singing this song weren't unshakable people. They were ordinary humans with fears, carrying responsibilities, wondering how tomorrow was going to work out. The unshakable thing was never them. It was the God who surrounded them. And maybe that's the invitation for us this week. Not to become fearless, not to pretend everything is okay, but to keep walking. One more step, one more prayer, one more act of faithfulness. Because that's what pilgrims do. And somewhere along the journey, we discover something that was true all along. The God we've been trying so hard to hold on to has been holding on to us from the very beginning. So if you came in today feeling exposed, like something wasn't fully surrounded, carrying something that hasn't healed or something that you can't see to the end of, please don't carry it out of here alone.